The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Good morning, everybody. It is Vince Russo. It is Tuesday morning here in Colorado. It's a little past 7 a.m. and I am hanging out with my friends on Twitch, twitch.tv/Vince Russo Live, as they are tuning in to listen to this week's That's Life. Somebody in Twitch asked me earlier about my schedule for That's Life. These days, I'm either recording it on Monday or Tuesday, just really depending. It's not so much a timing issue. It's how awake I am. I always tell you guys, this is the most important show that I do. I do not want to do this show when I'm tired. And I was going to record the show last night, but I was tired last night. And, you know, I don't want to do this show, you know, when I'm tired and when I'm out of energy. I want to do this show when I am energized and I am vibrant. And that's why I figured I'd get up first thing this morning. I have a day of work ahead of me, thank God. And I figured I'd get up first thing this morning and record That's Life for everybody. Guys, we're into day, 40 something of lockdown. We all are. And you know, my experience was, man, I got to tell you, like at the beginning of this, which really started for my wife and I probably around March 14th or so. I remember at the beginning of this, you know, my wife was still at school and then her school ended. So my wife was home. I was alone with my wife. And I was remembering at the beginning, it was like, I kept saying this really isn't so bad. You know, I'm spending time with my wife. I'm doing my podcast. When I'm done with my podcast, you know, I get to spend time with her. This really isn't that bad. You know, like I can kind of dig this. And you know what? It was okay for the first couple of weeks. I was going on the brand a lot. I was giving out messages of positivity. I was trying to keep everybody's spirits up. I was letting you know what I was going through. But you know, the first couple of weeks, you know, it really wasn't a horrible experience. Got to do a lot of reflection, got to really look at myself, got to really examine the situation and try to understand what was going on. You know, what was the message here? You know, God's involvement, what was he trying to say? But man, I got to tell you, when we hit that month mark, probably around a month, man, it just started getting really rough for me. And I could feel myself going into, you know, a depression and feeling like there wasn't going to be any end. And I even remember I told my son like a week ago, man, if this happens again in the winter months, right around the holidays, November, December, man, I don't know if I want to go through it again. I honestly don't, because this isn't life. This isn't the way that, you know, Jesus intended us to live and God intended us to live, to be locked in and not enjoying our lives and not enjoying other people. This was not the intent of life. And I was telling my son, I don't know if I can go through this a second round. And I told you guys all along, my saving grace was, and my saving grace still is, I know God is in control of everything. And since I've been doing this show, I've told everybody, you're going to hit low points. You know, you're going to hit valleys. And it is in those valleys and through those low points that God is trying to speak to you and that God is trying to tell you something. And maybe you go through such depths in order for him to get your undivided attention. But, you know, the Bible clearly tells you that everything that happens to you in life is designed to bring you closer to God. So if you take those two rules of thumb, everything that happens to you in life, every experience that you go through, everything is designed to bring you closer to God. That's number one. So in other words, if you're going through a trying time or if you're going through a difficult time, if you know the outcome is you will be closer with God and you really examine the circumstances and what he might be trying to tell you, that can't be a bad thing. You partner that with God is in control of everything. And trust me, that will get you through a lot of situations like the current one that we've all been going through. So, you know, I'm really looking at what has happened to us, you know, the last 6 weeks, the last 42 days, 45 days, or whatever it's been. I'm really trying to look at this. And I've said to you, I don't claim to know the answers. Okay. I would be an outright liar if I told you I knew the answers. Okay. You know, we know in the Bible, we hear about the wrath of God and we hear how God on his own has intervened when the world got out of hand. And when there was chaos in the world and when people were running rampant and when the devil was really getting a stronghold on the world, we know instances in the Bible where God intervened and God dropped the wrath of God on the earth and his people were protected. But if you are, you know, a soldier of the Satan and a soldier of this world and a soldier of the devil, you were not protected. And that's when there was a cleansing. And that's where, you know, if you were a child of God or a man, a woman in God, you were protected. You know, we go back to the Noah's Ark story where, you know, God told Noah, you know, build an ark. A storm's coming. I want to make sure you're protected because you're going to start mankind all over again. So we know that God has dropped the hammer when the world just began to run rampant. And we knew, you know, as children of God, as believers of God, that we were protected. But if you were from the other side, and if you, were a sinner, and if you idolized other gods, and if you did not have a relationship with God, and if power and money and greed and you represented all those things in the world, you were not protected. And, you know, God, you know, a few times in the Bible, you know, cleaned it out. Cleaned out the world. On the other side of that coin, things do come from Satan and things do come from the devil because, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, allowed sin into the world. They allowed the devil to come into the world and have a presence because they went against the word of God. And rather than listen to God, they listen to Satan. So that gave Satan power over the world. So you're looking at a situation where, okay, did this come from God? Was this God's cleansing? Was this God's wake-up call? Or did this come from the devil himself? And I don't know the answer to that, and nobody knows the answer to that. You know, the best you know, the best teachers in the world, theologians in the world, don't know the answer to that. And I'm not going to make believe I do. Okay. But here's what I know. We've been locked in our house for 6 weeks. And that whether this was a God thing or whether this was a Satan thing, okay, the result was the same. We've been locked in our house for 6 weeks. So what does that mean? And what does that look like? And always, man, the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Half empty. Man, people have lost their jobs. Small business owners have lost their jobs. Half empty. I was a small business owner. I understand that. You know, people have lost their jobs. People have lost their livelihoods. People have died. This pandemic has just literally changed the world as we know it. Nobody knows what the situation is going to be from here on in. Nobody, God knows, but we don't know. So, man, we can have a laundry list of the glass half empty. And, you know, if you put on the news every single night, that there is no hope. It's all gloom and doom, half empty, half empty, half empty, half empty, half full. How many of us put our jobs first? How many of us put our livelihoods first? How many of us get wrapped up in day-to-day BS that means absolutely nothing? The drama at work, the drama with coworkers, the politics at work, the power struggle at work. How many of us on a day-to-day daily basis get caught up in the world? Things that really don't matter. And what do? We neglect the things that are indeed important. We neglect those things. Well, we were forced in the last 6 weeks to stay home and to spend time with our families. You know, as a husband, I spending time with my wife. My kids are out of the house. I wish my kids were younger during this time and they were home with me. And I really had 6 months of quality time to spend with my children. But this time, if not anything else, it should have brought the family unit together. Parents, husbands, wives, children, kids. It should have brought that family unit together. I mean, when is the last time, you know, you all sat down and ate as a family? I'm sure there was a lot of that going on during this time. So the half full is you really got to spend time with the people that really mean the most. You know, now is the time if you do have younger kids, if you do have teenagers, your kids are depending on you. Your kids are looking to you. You know, there's a lot of fear in your children, and the only ones they can really look up to is you. So, you know, you've 100% been able to concentrate on them, put your energy into them. Maybe if you had a bumpy relationship with your spouse, this was the time to straighten that, to spend time, you know, with your husband, with your wife, really get to know them on a deeper level like you've never known them before. And it really was a time for you to just examine your roots. You know, really do a lot of soul searching. Really look in the mirror. You know, who am I? Who am I? What kind of a person am I? What are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? What do I need to do more of? and what do I need to subtract from my life? So when this is all over, I can go out in this world and I can be a positive force and a positive influence. So you've had the time to really take stock in yourself. But as we get closer to the end, I really have to look at each and every one of us. And if this, God's hand in this, whether this was by God or whether this was by the world, I said this a couple of weeks ago. This was really an opportunity for you to repent of all your sins and for you to ask God for forgiveness and for you to start anew with Him. We've had 6 weeks to make that commitment. We've had 6 weeks to repent our sins and go home to God. We've had 6 weeks. And I can only ask the question, how many people have not done that yet? You know, as we get into May, and hopefully by June 1st, this will all be behind us. And how many of us have missed the opportunity to establish a relationship with God, which is the most important thing you could have taken away from this situation? And how many of us have failed to do that? So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? When I say the word repent, maybe people really don't understand what that means. So I just want to share with you guys 10 simple Bible verses where the Bible talks about repentance. Okay? And I want you to digest these. They're short. 10 verses. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message, "Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near." Matthew 4:17. Now, when you look at that, turn away from your sins. You know, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, or whether you're a believer or not a believer, who wouldn't want to turn away from their sins? Who wouldn't want to leave their sins in the past and start anew? Why wouldn't you want to turn away from your sins unless you're an evil person at heart? So from that time, Jesus began to preach the message, "Turn away from your sins because the kingdom of heaven is near." Matthew 4:17. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you. That is Proverbs 28:13. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you. Why would you want to hide your sins? God knows we are all sinners. God knows we are all imperfect. God knows that. So why do you want to try to hide your sins? If you try to hide your sins, that now makes you a liar. So now you've gone from bad to worse. You're sinning, which we're all going to sin anyway. You're hiding your sins and you're lying about your sins when God is saying, give them up and I will show you mercy. Give up your sins. Confess your sins, repent your sins, and I will show you mercy. Who would not want to take advantage of that? Repent then of this evil plan of yours and pray to the Lord that he will forgive you for thinking such a thing as this. That's Acts 8:22. Repent then of this evil plan of yours and pray to the Lord that he will forgive you for thinking such a thing as this. Even if you have sinful thoughts, even if you're thinking of something sinful, your evil plan, how are you going to get ahead? Who are you going to screw? Pray to the Lord for forgiveness, for even thinking such thoughts. Before you even sin, the thought of sinning, give that up to the Lord. Do those things that will show that you have turned from your sins. Matthew 3:8. Again, Christian, non-Christian, religious, non-religious, believer, non-believer. If you don't want to turn from your sins, you're evil. You're a sinner. That is pure evil. Who doesn't want to turn from their sins and start anew? Who doesn't want to correct mistakes and start anew with the grace and the forgiveness of God? Repent then and turn to God so that he will forgive your sins. Acts 3:19. Bro, do you notice again and again and again and again, this is saying matter-of-factly, turn to God so he will forgive your sins. Not turn to God so maybe he will forgive your sins. That's not what any of this is saying. And everything that I am reading you is saying, turn away from your sins. With your tongue, admit your sins. Ask God for forgiveness and he will grant you that forgiveness. I don't understand how nobody would want that free gift. You literally have to be an evil person and your heart has to be black and your heart has to be programmed by the world and Satan for you not to want that free gift. So watch what you do. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So what God is saying is, if you sin and you repent, I will forgive you. And you need to pass that down and along to your brother. If people sin against you, you need to forgive them. That was Luke 17:3. As the Lord's servant, you must not quarrel. You must be kind toward all, a good and patient teacher who is gentle as you correct your opponents. For it may be that God will give them the opportunity to repent and come to know the truth. You must be kind towards all, a good and patient teacher, gentle as you correct your opponents, for it may be that God will give them the opportunity to repent and come to know the truth. I say this all the time, guys, and sometimes I fail miserably. I want people to see God through me. Guys, listen, I'm human. I lose my temper. I talk a lot about my Italian temper. The minute I do or say something, immediately people are throwing my Christianity down my throat like Christians have ever claimed to be perfect. We have not. We are the opposite. We are sinners and we mess up over and over again, but we admit it and we ask God for forgiveness and God continues to work on us. But bro, even with that, you will never see from me an attack out of pure hatred. I don't have that hatred in my heart. Now, it has happened. I am not going to lie to you. When people label me, you know, racist and homophobe and things that really affect me, and really affect, you know, my family. That gets me to the core. And that's when you will really see a vigor come from me. But 99% of the time, in order to defend myself, I will do it through entertainment. Okay. I will do it through a way where it will really make people laugh. And what I'm trying to do too is the person who is spewing hate upon me, I'm trying to do it back in an entertaining and funny way where I'm really just saying, like, really? Do you really hate me that much? You don't even know me. So you will see many times, because guys, you know, as a Christian, that does not give anybody license to walk all over you. And we talked about this on one show. Turn the other cheek does not mean you're a doormat. It means do not seek revenge. You know, God told his own apostles, be ready to defend yourselves, because when you go out in the world, you're going to be ridiculed because of me. That's in the Bible. So I will always defend myself, but I never do it in a hateful manner. The apostles left and started telling everyone to turn to God. That's what I do, bro. We are apostles. If we are believers in God, if we are believers in his word, if we are believers in the Holy Bible, we are the apostles. And I strongly feel it is our job to tell everybody about God, which is exactly what I'm doing here. Two more things I want to share with you guys. Peter said to them, each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit guides you. The Holy Spirit is from God. My prayer over and over is I tell God to free me of the poison of this world and fill me with the Holy Spirit. That is Acts 2:38. And the last is, I told you my sins and I am sorry for them. That's Psalms 38:18. Think about that, guys. Think about how simple that is. I told you my sins and I am sorry for them. I told you my sins and I am sorry for them. So why would you not confess that? The only way you would not confess that is if you're not sorry for your sins. Man, if there is one person listening to this show that is not sorry for their sins, brother, you're an evil person to the core. And God is nowhere in your life. If you are not sorry for your sins, then you have every intention to be evil. And I cannot believe that is the heart of the majority. I believe if we all were given the opportunity to be forgiven for our sins, we would take that opportunity. Why wouldn't we? We have all done things that we regret. We have all done things we're sorry for. We have all done things that we would not repeat. All of us, every single one of us. If we could wipe that slate clean and fall to our knees and ask God to forgive us for those sins, repent. That's repentance. Why wouldn't we? The only reason we wouldn't would be is if we weren't sorry. If we weren't sorry for our sins. You know, Adam and Eve were put in the Garden of Eden. This was the perfect world. This was what our life was supposed to be designed by God. There was no sickness. There was no pandemics. There was no growing old. There was no pain. There was no death. The Garden of Eden. This was the perfect world that God handed us. Adam and Eve sinned. They allowed Satan into the world. And now we have what we have today. In a way, we are all Adam and Eve because we all sin. And those sins contribute to the way of the world today. You mean to tell me if Adam and Eve could take that back, you don't think they would take it back? If they could take back the sin of disobeying the Lord and going back to a life of peace, happiness, stress-free, anxiety-free, depression-free, you don't think they would take back those sins in a heartbeat? You don't think they would ask God for forgiveness? And we contribute to that every single day. Why would we not want to be forgiven for our sins? It blows my mind. I sit here, man, and I F up on a daily basis. And I drop my head and I say, God, please help me. I've got this sin gene instilled in me. I'm getting better and better and better and better. But man, it constantly rears its ugly head. Give me more of the Holy Spirit. Give me more of you. Be my teacher. Be my conscience. Be my guide. I don't know why you wouldn't ask for that. I just don't know why. So as we get to the end of this and you've not repented and asked for forgiveness, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I can hear people say, as I say, what are you waiting for? I can hear people say, I don't believe in God. Okay, fine. I'm not going to tell you to. Even if you don't believe in God, you would not want to repent from your sins. You would not want to take your sins back. You would not want to apologize for your sins. You would not want to start over a better person. It's something that I will never understand. Confessing sins, telling God you can't do this without him, where he's saying without a shadow of a doubt, if you repent, I will forgive you. There's no maybe. I will forgive you. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from the wicked world. Turn away from your wicked ways. I will forgive you. We will build our relationship. Have you done that yet? I don't know how that wasn't done in day one. With all these unanswered questions and not knowing if you'll be here tomorrow. And just what if there is a heaven and a hell? What if? And that's all you had to do, turn away from your sins. What are you waiting for? If you don't do it now, and the world goes back to an semblance of how we knew it, you'll never do it. And then it may be too late. I'm not telling you to do anything. I am strongly suggesting stop today and do it. God, I am repenting before you. I am dropping to my knees. I am asking you for forgiveness for all my sins. I want to clear the slate. I want to turn my back on it. I want to start new. I want to start with you. I don't know what tomorrow brings. But if I'm not here tomorrow, I choose to be with you. Wow. How we could even think about not accepting that is just beyond my comprehension. That's life, everybody. Mama Jean, I know you know what I'm talking about. Guys, stop waiting. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Stop waiting. Take care, everybody.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by The Realm Network.